Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I am thrilled today to have my guest, debut author. I always love the debuts. You know me. I love the first timers. Peter Malone Elliott. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, Sean, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. And this is, I'm correct, right? This is your first novel that's coming out, that has
Is
come out.
correct. That is correct. Yeah.
All right, because you've done other things, which I will now get into in your bio. So, Peter is an author, screenwriter, and developmental editor. So you've been in writery kind of things. Born and raised in Virginia, he now lives in Brooklyn. Very cool, but still holds the magic of the mountains and southern living near to and dear to his heart. Blue Ridge is his debut novel. Well, there, if I had read ahead, I would know. Not that I don't know this. Other notable writing achievements include a Leo Award nomination for Best Screenwriting Motion Picture and winning the grand prize of the Script Pipeline Screenwriting Competition. Peter is also the founder and owner of Say the Name of the Place.
Fortitae et Recte Literary.
Okay, what is that? Latin?
It's the Elliott family crest, family motto, boldly and rightly is what it means.
Gotcha. Cool, 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 cool. Where he offers bespoke editorial consulting for manuscripts and screenplays. So you've been, like you said, you've like been around books and writing and screenplays. You're an accomplished person, but this is your new the biggest the first novels. That's where we're using the word debut.
Yes,
So
exactly.
welcome to the show. So
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
today we're here to talk about the book, which is Blue Ridge. Tell us about Blue Ridge.
So Blue Ridge is a psychological thriller set in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, about two identical twin brothers, Killian and Christopher Clark. Killian is a former Olympic equestrian turned burnout horse trainer. He's kind of a guy that's hit some hard times, and he's literally and metaphorically on his last legs. The literally will make sense if you read the book. And then Christopher is the exact opposite. He's a rising star in the political world. He's running for governor of Virginia, and on its face, at least, he's kind of got everything figured out. Where the book picks up, Killian is en route to go murder his brother, Christopher. Only when he gets there, he finds out that not only has someone beaten him to the punch, they've also framed Killian for the deed itself. So Killian has to go on the run in order to clear his name and also figure out who killed his brother. And in the process of doing so, he gets thrown into this really nefarious political conspiracy that has ramifications for the governor of Virginia, but also threatens to expose this really devastating, awful secret that Killian and Christopher have been working for years to keep buried.
Yeah, very succinct. That's exactly what it's about. And full disclosure, I've read it multiple times because I am your editor.
Hey.
I am your developmental editor slash every other kind of editor, and you're a developmental editor. So that was kind of cool to when I got it as a submission, I was like, okay, this person knows how to tell a story. And then it was
Oh,
so great
thanks.
to yeah, it was really great working with you on some of the different plot points and things. But you know, it's a really, really good book, and I'm not just saying that because I can say that about a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm not just saying that. It's actually really good.
Thank you.
Congrats. So, first question. What was the initial inspiration for writing this story? What was the first kernel that said, I'm going to sit down and write this story about these brothers who are very fascinating, by the way?
Thank you. So, I mean, I obviously, as my bio kind of reflected, I come from a screenwriting background. I was living at home during the pandemic, as many of us were, and I was in Virginia. And I've always been fascinated by the idea of identical twin brothers. I mean, it's such a fascinating trope because you're always considered part of an entity and not an individual person. And that dynamic and how it could reflect in a psychological thriller was just a fascinating jumping off point for me. So I was marinating on that and thinking about that. And also, while being at home in Virginia, I was looking at the Blue Ridge Mountains constantly because I was living right there, adjacent to it. And I mean, they're beautiful, they're gorgeous, it's undeniable, but they are a little spooky also. I mean, there's kind of a haunting, mysterious mystique about them. And it kind of hit me one day. I was like, well, what if I put a story of two brothers, one of whom wants to kill the other, in these mountains? What would that look like? And then it just kind of unspooled from there. So that was really the jumping off point.
Unrelated, well, it's related, but it was an unplanned question. Do you have a brother or twin
I
brother or
don't.
brothers?
I have an older sister, but I Megan, if you're listening, I have never wanted to kill you at any point, I promise.
Was gonna say, Thanksgiving might be a little weird this year if you do have a brother or
Yeah,
a twin brother.
little tense, a little tense.
No, I wouldn't be able to know that. having read it, because it seems like I totally believed that dynamic. We all have siblings, you know, people that have siblings. There's that whole, I want to kill you a lot of the times, but also like, I will
Sure.
protect you no matter what. I will be the one to protect you, even though I wanted to kill you yesterday. It's just a
Right.
whole, it's a weird relationship that we all have, some of us have.
Yeah. You know, I mean, with all siblings, like you said, I mean, there's always, even if you're incredibly close, like I am with my sister, there's always a little bit of an unspoken rivalry, right? I mean, there's always a little bit of a tension simmering beneath the surface, even if it's only exhibited through, like, you know, microaggressions over dinner, like you said. You know, it's just, so it was just about kind of finding that thread and amplifying it in a genre context.
100%. All right, question two. How do you, so speaking of your characters, specifically the brothers, or any of the characters, I mean, you have other really, even the minor characters of this book are fleshed out really well. And it's like you even get to know like the investigating people. Like, I feel like I know them too. So how do you develop
Oh.
these voices of your characters? How did you construct your characters? Do you keep like a Bible, or do you write about them separately from the book? And like, I know she likes pancakes for breakfast. Like, how do you get these people to, how do you get them to come to life? It's a
All
good
starts with
question.
pancakes. It all starts with
Yes.
pancakes. So I have a multi-part answer to this, but I'll try and keep it short for the sake of the podcast. I think something that I really strongly believe is that all writers should take an acting class at some point in their lives. There was a stretch in my career where I did a bit of acting, and that really helped me be able to get into what a character would feel like. Because, you know, when you take acting classes and you do, you know, scene study work, it's all about, you know, okay, you're this character, you write a backstory, you keep like a, you know, for lack of a better word, like a character journal or a character Bible, right? And you really learn to feel like what it is to walk in that person's shoes. And that was such a valuable exercise for me to take into my writing. So yeah, when I write characters, I have their backstory fleshed out. I write out, you know, paragraphs upon paragraphs of what their backstory is, where they come from, their mannerisms, etc. And it's you know, and it's a fun experience, because while you do all that work and you have all that ready to go in the locker, when you're writing, you want it to be organic, and you know, they'll say something that you weren't expecting necessarily, and that'll spur something else. But if you've done that homework beforehand, it allows you to pursue that organic, you know, spark in the writing. So that's typically what I do when I'm building out characters. I kind of channel my inner actor brain, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it shows. I mean, it shows you can see that you've done the work there, because so often you read things, and I read it like a manuscript that gets a sentence, and it's like, well, this person's talking exactly like that other person. They're supposedly from a different city. You know, it's like you have to infuse them with reality. And, you know, and
Thank you.
there's methods behind. We're not just sitting down writing stuff, words on a paper, and there's methods behind constructing the books and the character. I mean, it's important work. So
You
that
mean,
was good.
Sean, wait, writers aren't monkeys with typewriters, really? We have brains? That's surprising.
That it's actually like there is physical work that goes into it, the kinking brain things. All right.
Thank you for
Kinking
saying all
brain
that.
things. Yeah.
And it just, I would also like to add, because, you know, the book is told in dueling first person POVs between the brothers, right? So one chapter's Killian, one chapter's Christopher, back and forth. It was an interesting challenge to distinguish those voices, because they're identical twins. You want them to be similar, right? But they can't be too similar that you can't tell them apart. So it was a really fun challenge to make them just, you know, just similar enough so they seem like identical twins, but different enough that you felt like you were going on separate journeys. So, you know, like the thing that I was the thing that I said in an interview that I did a couple of days ago, which when I said that, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna say that in my future interviews. That's good. Yeah. Is that I imagined them in a coffee shop, right? If Killian and Christopher were in a coffee shop, Killian would be in the corner kind of doing a James Dean impression and not really talking to anyone, kind of just off doing his own thing. Christopher would be behind you chatting your ear off about, you know, some specialty blend of Arabica beans that you've never heard of, right? So like, once I figured that out, it was really easy to distinguish their dialogue. So like, Killian is very musical and melodious in the way he talks. You know, he's there's a bit in the first chapter about where he compares the Blue Ridge Mountains to the music of Patsy Cline. So like, when I wrote that, I was like, okay, this is how he talks. He's very, even though he's soft-spoken, when he does speak, it's musical and melodious and has a rhythm to it. Whereas Christopher, being a politician and, you know, a charmer and an extrovert, you know, he's all about function, right? When he speaks, is I'm going to say this to get to this point, and I'm going to say it in as clear a way and charming as way as possible, but without, you know, the musicality that that Killian has. So that was really kind of the breaking off point. So yeah. Anyway, that was a long answer. That was a long answer to your question, but
yeah, but it's very informative, and I think a lot of writers listen to this show or aspiring writers, and it's good to get, you know, we do talk a lot about background, and I think it's important because, you know, that's how you build a character. You just illustrated one of the methods to get 7 points. That's perfect. So for this book, question three, this book, which came first for you, the characters of the brothers or the plot?
Ooh, that's a good question. It was definitely the idea of the brothers first. I will say for this, it's, you know, writers and people that, you know, are involved in books and film and TV and whatnot, they always kind of talk about, you know, what's your writing process? Do you outline extensively? And for me, it's very dependent on the project. Sometimes I will do really, really in-depth, you know, scene by scene outlines. Other times I'll kind of just freeball it. But I will say there, whenever I go into a project, before I start writing, there are always three things that I have to know. No matter if I'm doing the pantser or the plotter, you know, method, there's three things I have to know. One, I have to know in terms of plot. One, I have to know the opening image. Two, I have to know the midpoint. And three, I have to know how it ends. If I don't know those three things, I can't start writing. So with Blue Ridge specifically, I had the brothers of the characters and that dynamic. That was the starting point. But then those three points, I knew all the way through, even as things were changing within, I knew those three signposts. I didn't know how I was necessarily going to get to the midpoint from the beginning and the midpoint from to the ending, but I knew what those were. And that kind of were my guiding lights throughout writing the manuscript.
Yeah, it's like the halfway point of a marathon. Like, all right, made it here. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not always pretty. Yeah. But it's a goal to get to, and that's great. But you have to have some I don't outline, because I've learned about myself that I just don't ever stick to it, and then I get frustrated. So I need, but having like the end post is something to work towards, and that's good. So you don't have to. Yeah. You can do hybrid method of whatever gets you there.
I mean, exactly. There's so many different ways to cut the cake. You know, I mean, like, don't ever believe when someone tells you have to do it this way. No, you don't. Whatever works for you and whatever gets the words on the page, that's all that matters. You know,
exactly. Perfect. Okay, well, you're a screenwriter, film, TV guy. You've been an actor, I just learned. So cool. if you could cast your characters, which actors do you envision playing the different roles?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay. Ooh, okay. For the brothers, he's a little too old now, but I'll say it anyway. If I could have the Andrew Garfield of like 5 years ago, that would be perfect. Mm-hmm. That would have been perfect. Same thing with like Chris Pine of like 5 years ago, that would have been perfect too. They're both a little too old now. In terms of the supporting characters though, I haven't thought about that. That's a good question. I don't know if I have a good answer for this, Sean.
It's okay. It's I like to stump you once in a while. But going back to building great characters, the other conversation we're having, that's who I would have pictured too. So that's how much of a good job you've done. Like those two names
popped
in my head. So I'm like, okay, this is. You don't overly describe them either. So my brain filled in those spots where yours, because it's not like you're like, he looks like Chris Pine. You know, it's not obvious.
Yeah.
Definitely
That's interesting that you thought of those two too. Yeah, I mean, when you're describing characters, going back to my screenwriting background, you know, I mean, you want to describe them enough so that the reader has an idea of who they are, but you also don't want to over-explain. You know, you don't want to say, all right, they're 27, they're, you know, this ethnicity, they're wearing this set of clothes. Like, you don't want to get that minute. You kind of want to leave it a little bit open for interpretation, because there's a lot of different ways casting could go in film and TV, right? So I kind of took a similar approach when writing all the characters in Blue Ridge. So there are a lot of different ways it could go, but those were the two, for the brothers specifically, those were the two actors that I imagined in my head a lot while writing. Yeah.
Buddy, for the for the girlfriend, the our person
Audrey?
that wrote.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit me.
I was, well, what about Audrey? Audrey from the White Lotus. What's her name? Audrey. Oh, she was from Parks and Rec. She's too.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza?
Yeah, Aubrey. Aubrey. She could
That's
be
really
maybe.
interesting. That's
Maybe.
really interesting. Huh.
I just, I mean, younger too, but I mean, I just love her. I think she's really versatile and she's got that edginess to, or maybe somebody a little lighter. I don't know. I have to think about that. But anyway, it's always fun to play this game. Who would we,
That's really
where do
interesting. Yeah.
you just cast, you know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, everybody will come to the movie. It's fine. You don't have to put
Right.
them. It doesn't matter. No, we're talking seriously as writers. But I think those, that would be a good, that would be, you know, everyone would have to have the same age, but that would be a good group, I think. Yeah. Anyway, all right,
Yeah,
fifth question.
I never would have pegged Aubrey Plaza. That's really interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. Cool.
I'm just sort of like interested in everything she's doing right now because I watched Emily the Criminal, and that was a really good movie. And she was in that, and she's in like almost every scene of that movie, and it's just so out of her usual thing. And I'm like, wow, she's really kind of stretched lately. So I like her. Although I
Yeah.
also loved her on I loved her on Parks and Rec too. She was so
Yeah,
funny.
she's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So number five, what do you hope readers will take away from reading your book?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's a thriller, right? And I want people to be entertained and engaged and absorbed throughout the entire read. I want it to feel immersive. That's probably, the first and foremost thing I want. But thinking more, kind of like taking a more granular approach, excuse me, I would love if people a big arc. A big theme in Blue Ridge's redemption, right? With both brothers. They both, obviously, Killian and Christopher are complicated, to say the least, characters. They're very flawed. They approach the issues that are in the book without giving away spoilers in very different ways. But they both, when they're faced with really unspeakable and very traumatic evil, they have courage and they have a lot of grit and resolve to see it through, to see what needs to be done through. So I would hope that even if you don't, you meaning the reader, even if you don't necessarily agree with what Killian and Christopher, how they handle things, I would love it if you took some inspiration from their steel and their courage that they show, and maybe, take that into your own life and whatever problem you're facing. That would be phenomenal if that happened.
Absolutely. Redemption's a good, it's a good, everyone needs it
Yeah.
in small and big ways in our lives. All right. New year, new quiz. We got a new pop quiz this for this new, because
Okay.
this you're the second episode of the newest of the new season, which is season three.
Oh, great.
3 years
Awesome.
in. Yeah. So, all right. These are,
Congratulations.
thanks. Yeah. These are really, really hard. So get ready. Number one,
Okay.
do you prefer reading standalone novels or series?
Standalone. Although I love series, but standalone. If you're putting a gun to my head, standalone.
These are gun to the head answers because there's just so
Okay.
many. I mean, there's gray areas in all of our areas of life. But you know, I like to
Sure.
get. It's interesting these quizzes. At first, I was like, these are really silly. But you hear interesting responses, and then it kind of spurs conversation. Do you
Sure,
prefer
yeah.
reading? Yeah. Do you prefer reading books set in contemporary times or historical?
Ooh, I do love a great period piece. Lately I've been reading a lot more contemporary, so just because I've been reading more contemporary lately, I'll say contemporary, but I do love period stuff, so but contemporary, I guess.
Yeah, and you're a younger guy, so that's kind of neat because I'm, you know, sometimes I always think that it, you know, people that are older are more interested in history, but that's neat. That's good. All right. Not that you're like a baby or anything. Number three, do you prefer to write in the mornings or evenings?
Mornings. I wish I could write in evenings. It would be so much better for my schedule, but I've tried writing in the evening and my brain just shuts down after like 6 p.m. So no, mornings 100%.
Yeah, definitely. It's like the. I it's like the iPhone battery thing on my phone. Like, yep, that's
Yeah.
about me. It's like my creativity has gone down to 20% and I can't do it. All right. Would you rather watch a movie or a TV show?
Man. This is hard. I'll say TV just because I think there's more interesting stuff being done in TV nowadays.
I agree. And I just had a guest on before that's contemporary of mine, and we were saying it's like the opposite. It used to be the opposite. And now it's sort of flipped. Like TV is just so good now. You know, there's so many good opportunities for TV.
There's a lot of TV shows that feel more like novels. You know, they feel very literary in a way, and that feels really nice to live in a character for, you know, 8 to 10 episodes, whatever it is. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it's yeah, you can definitely get into it more than just an hour and a half, two. No, well, 3.5 hours now, I guess, with movies.
Because
With movies, I'm like,
that's the other thing.
what?
Movies have become so long. Like, it's just, I really struggle with the idea of going to a movie theater and sitting down for 3.5 hours, because, you know, a movie's 3 hours, and you have 30 minutes of previews, and you have to get there and park, and it's just like it's a whole ordeal nowadays. It's just, can't we just, what happened to the great, you know, tight 2 hours or less movies? You know, I miss those, like the 90s thrillers that were like a solid 98 minutes. That's the sweet spot.
Fatal Attraction. I'll just take that all day. You know, whatever. Like that's we get the
Sure.
point. It's over. You know. No, I mean, yeah. Should I bring like a lunch? I mean, I don't know what's happening. Like, have yes, I don't
Sure.
have that kind of. Fifth and final, if you could have dinner with any author, living or dead, who would it be?
Oh gosh. Okay. I'll give you two answers. One is contemporary, one is historical. Historical, I would have to say, just because I don't think he's a particularly admirable person, but he's just fascinating from just a anthropological standpoint, Ernest Hemingway. I would love to have a lunch with Ernest Hemingway just to see what he was like. Just so intrigued. And then in a contemporary standpoint, you know, Sean, my love of this guy is well documented with you. I think Sean Cosby is the most brilliant author working today. So I would love to have dinner with him or drinks with him and just pick his brain for 3 hours and be really annoying and ask him a bunch of questions. That would be phenomenal. I would love that.
Well, I can't make the first one happen, but I could probably swing the second one. We're good friends. I was just messaging with him the other day, so I can probably, if we're ever in the same place, we can definitely have a drink with Sean.
Awesome. Great.
He's a lovely guy, and he's very generous, and he's a good guy. So, well, you did great. So,
I met him briefly once. Lee introduced me and I shook his hand. It was very quick. It was like a 2-minute interaction, but he seems like a very generous, warm guy. Yeah.
oh yeah, he's a lot of fun. He's definitely a lot of fun, and he likes his cocktails. So that's not a hard get. You can get him, definitely get him
There
in with
you
He's a good guy.
go.
So the book is out. The book is out as of yesterday. Well,
Yeah.
this will air. This is going to air like a week or two later. But so, what's going on? You having a big party? Are you on tour? What's happening?
Yeah. So I have a book launch event today, but by the time this comes out, it'll have already happened. But it's happening today in Brooklyn at a brewery. Doing a Q&A and a reading, and I'll be signing books. And then in terms of like a tour, yeah, I have a really wonderful publicist who set up a bunch of stuff for me. I've been doing a lot of interviews ever since last week, and I have a lot of events and conferences that I'm signed up for that I'll be going to and speaking at. So I'll kind of be going nonstop for a few months, which is great. So I'm really excited to get Blue Ridge out there and get the story of these edgy brothers out there.
Yeah, you do have a great publisher. She's also very nice. And I work with a lot of
She's very
publicists, and
kind. She's very
yeah, it's
kind.
nice to have a, you know, I mean, they're all really nice, but you know what I mean? Like, it's nice to have she seems very sweet and genuine. Sometimes they're like, I'm being nice in this email, but I really want you to do 500 things, and I'm going to be mad if you don't do
Sure.
them. No,
Yeah,
thanks.
she's very kind. Yeah.
She's good. Well, I'm really proud of you. I'm really happy for you. Have fun at your party,
Thank you,
and I
Sean.
cannot,
Thank you.
what? What are you working? Are you working? One more last final bonus question. Are you working on
Yeah.
anything? What's your next thing you're working on? Are you working on anything else?
Yeah, so I finished a couple months ago. I finished a horror thriller set in Yosemite National Park that I hope will be the start of a series. Even though I was saying I like standalones more, I hope this will be the start of a series. I'm shopping that around now, and then I'm also in the very nascent stages of developing something that's a standalone that's set in Virginia and potentially a horror thriller thing set on a horse farm. It's very early days though. But those are kind of the two things I'm working on. And then I'm also, you know, working on getting the word out there about my editing business. So
Absolutely. Well, you're a busy guy. So good luck with all that stuff, and have fun, and we'll talk again soon.
thank you, Sean. Thank you so much.
Thanks.